This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. You're listening to The Property Show on The Morning Run, our weekly take on everything property related. Joining me this morning is Andy Kassa, the BIM manager for Veritas Architects in Duren Berhad, to introduce to us the Building Information Modeling, or BIM, for property construction. So, Andy, thank you for joining us on The Property Show.
Thank you. Good morning to all.
Let's start with the basic. Could you tell us what is Building Information Modeling, or BIM, and what makes it an exciting technology?
As you mentioned, BIM stands for Building Information Modeling, but it's not only about the software, as most people might think of. Building Information Modeling is about the process, and also a combination of this process with specific tools that help to prepare and also manage the digital representation of any facility, any building. Can be either a residential building, can be a transportation facility, can be also a metro station, can be the whole MRT line, can be any kind of facility.
What I'm interested to find out is if you were to compare how work used to be previously, so compare the projects that uses the conventional work processes with projects that uses the BIM system, how would you compare the difference between these two?
Yes. Well, it was a big change. Before BIM, there was the CAD, computer-aided design. I wasn't at that level because I was lucky to be part of the CAD and then move straight into BIM. But from what I was told from my principals or people that have been working for a long time in this industry, that before it used to take a lot of time even to prepare a small plan with using paper and ruler and having to work throughout hours. And if there is any little change, you cannot just erase lines.
Right.
So you have to do all over again. Imagine on top of that, you have to coordinate with other consultants like structural engineers or mechanic engineers on top of that. It used to take a lot of time, a lot of effort for little information. And many, many people involved in the process.
So basically it sends a message saying that there's work being done in a particular part of a home and it requires, for an example, an attention from either the engineer or the contractor. It's not automated. The system doesn't generate new measurement or so forth.
Not really. I mean, you still need to have the user that uses the software, but the software makes it much easier, much more effective and efficient. Because every time you, through BIM softwares, because a software can be either the ones that we use in our office called Revit, or can be even other BIM software. Once you model a 3D, the digital 3D model, you could extract, slice all the information that you need, like can be floor plans, can be sections, can be over extraction of quantities. And those information are all connected with each other. It's not you shift one element in the floor plan is in 3D, for example, or in floor plan, they are both shifted. So you don't have the problems that before we had, that maybe one user shifted an element in floor plan, they forgot to shift it in section or in elevation.
Right, so they don't sort of work in isolation.
Yeah, yeah. The model has all the information there, everybody's working on the same information.
Okay, interesting. Currently, I mean, what are some of the existing or maybe even future projects that are, you know, or currently using the system? Can you give us some examples?
Well, our most advanced project currently is the MRT Line 2, the underground stations. They have been implementing BIM since day one of the project, and luckily the client saw the potential and the benefits of implementing BIM and pushed it all the way through. Currently, the stations are under construction and have been developed from the consultant team, which is part of them, it's us, and passed over to the contractor, which they will take over the models and hands them for construction requirements and move towards the operational part of it. So all the information that the models will embedded will be used during the operation part, that the MRT will use them for the day-to-day monitoring and operation.
I mean, just based on my observation, I thought the MRT, the development of MRT was much faster than I expected it to be.
Yeah.
Do you think that the BIM had anything to do with this?
Well, definitely, it helped. Not many people see the benefits right away, because in order to see the real benefits, you need to compare apple to apple.
Yeah.
And most of the time, it's impossible, because you never have exactly same projects. But there were studies, from what I know, what I've read, in Hong Kong, for example, where they have all these very similar buildings. They did it conventionally, and they did it through CAD and conventionally and using BIM. They managed to have a saving of 5% of the total cost, for example. So there is much saving in time, which time translates to money, and also the building itself is much more efficient and much more coordinated, because we learned a lot from MRT Line 1, which wasn't done using BIM. You end up having to deal with some areas in the facilities that don't really comply with the UBBL or the building requirements.
Right.
And that one was too late. Once you find out during construction stage, it's too late to change. It's very meticulous project. So every little change will affect every other, all the surrounding elements and all the consultants.
Okay. So, I mean, you mentioned about 5% in terms of cost saving, in terms of money-wise. But in terms of time, I mean, how much time, if you can give a percentage, how much time would you be able to save if you were to use BIM in comparison to the conventional sort of system?
In our case, actually, speaking of some the consultant points of view, you don't save time. You actually spend a lot of time in the beginning. Because if you have a project that has been designed and developed not with using BIM, you can quickly build a 3D model, prepare renderings, prepare all the visuals, and impress the client. But at the end of the day, then you have to redo again from scratch all the layouts and all the information needed for submission or even preparing construction drawings. Through BIM, you spend much more time during this design stage, but then once the building is confirmed, everything is more smoothly. So time saving, definitely it is. Not sure how to quantify the overall time, but it's due to the reduce of risk or a lot of VOs, variation orders, for example. You definitely, during construction stage, save a lot of time, because a lot of clashes, design 3D clashes that might not have been visible during the design stage have been pointed out during the design stage now, and less will be handled during construction stage.
Okay, brilliant. On that note, joining me this morning is Andy Kasa, the BIM manager for Veritas Architect Sundaram Berhad. We'll have more on The Property Show after these messages, so stay with us on BFM 89.9. If you've just joined us, this is The Property Show. I'm Sharid Sabdullah, and I'm speaking to Andy Kasa, the BIM manager from Veritas Architect Sundaram Berhad. Today, I speak to Andy about the role of building information modeling in the property sector. Let's zoom down a bit in terms of, you know, private and residential homes. How widely used is this system in Malaysia?
Well, unfortunately, not wide enough. This system has been there for a long time, but somehow the implementation nationwide has been a bit slow. Only lately, everybody's moving into BIM and has been convinced, and has at least more and more clients are enforcing it, or even state offices are trying to make it mandatory.
Right.
And hopefully by 2020, most of big projects will be compulsory or mandated to be implemented in BIM. However, the main issue with implementing BIM on all kind of projects is people. So there are not enough users that could use this this kind of technology. It's not a technology you can learn overnight, or not even 1 week. It requires time. In our firm at Veritas, we do in-house trainings, and we keep doing them every now and then when we need to train new users or even existing users to put them to train them to advanced levels. And once we have the whole office implemented or the whole users that can use this software, for example, we could say for sure that even small bungalows will be developed using BIM.
So right now, the pushback is not so much that you don't have demand, but rather than you don't have enough expertise definitely. To run BIM at a large-scale basis.
Yes, definitely. That's the main reason. On top of that is the cost.
I was going to ask you, how about the cost?
Is the cost. This software are much more expensive than normal to this software.
Than the conventional method.
Well, I suppose it's more about the design team. Like most of these small residential projects are done by small architecture firms, and most probably they cannot afford having a special, trained users or also a BIM manager like myself to lead the team for if it's a very small team. And unfortunately, as I said, learning this new software, it takes time and you need continuous training, which we, as I mentioned, we do it in-house. And on top of the software cost, there is the hardware cost because this software cannot be run on just a normal workstation. You need with high specs workstation to be run. And as I mentioned, the training cost as well, because if you don't have in-house BIM manager or BIM trainer, you will have to send your stuff.
Okay. So you are an architect by profession.
Yes.
So how did you come across this technology and what sort of led you to pursue this line of work?
When I was introduced to this software, a few things attracted my attention. Was faster, was easier, but was much more challenging to learn, and I like challenges. But when it comes to when you are a student and then you have to study a lot, you have to do a lot of overnight studying, and you see something that helps you do the manual work, like just drawing, it attracts my attention straight away. Of course, I struggled a bit in the beginning because the course was a bit slow, but with a lot of, at that time, was not that familiar also in Italy, with a lot of tutorials, forums, I learned myself.
You studied architecture.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you had interest in systems.
Yes.
So, I mean, for those who are interested to venture into this line of work, I mean, what are those the prerequisite sort of skills that would be required if you want to become a BIM specialist?
You need to like it.
You need to like the system.
First of all, you need to like it. If you don't like it, don't force yourself.
So that means if you're into arts and you're more into drawing and you're into design, then
yes,
may not be your thing.
It could be, but still could be just on the basic, you focus on the concept design. If you want to go into technical, you need to like the software. Because one thing is for sure, that everything that is being built virtually in this kind of software can be built in the real building.
Right.
So that's what as I said, caught my attention as well.
Okay.
So you don't have any surprises later on.
So currently, right now, I mean, you say there's a very complex system. It runs heavily on computer power. But how about your team? I mean, do you have to work with large team, or is this more of you work on an individual basis?
No, definitely it's a team basis, and that's. One of the reasons why this technology helps, because when you work on a large team, there are like a huge amount of information that everybody is working in their silo and in different platforms. In this case, there is only one platform for all the information, and everybody or the team, let's say it's a small residential project team of five, can access to the same information. So there is no multiple source of information that will bring to a lot of miscoordination.
And it's to ensure the quality of work as well in the long run. So, I mean, speaking about quality, right? I mean, I'm interested to find out who governs the standard of BIM.
Here in Malaysia, you mean?
In Malaysia, if it's relevant, well, in fact, internationally, what sort of standards does it sort of conform?
There are a lot of standards out there, and that is a bit difficult to operate with different clients here, because everybody's referring to different standards. The most, I guess, effective and the most advanced are the UK standards, BIM standards. But also Malaysia, it's trying to have their own standards for JKR. They are trying to, I mean, they have their own standards for their buildings.
It's work in progress.
Work in progress. CIDB, it's a work in progress. It's taking a bit longer. But what we refer usually, if we don't have confirmed standards, we refer to Singapore guidelines. They're not really standards, but they are guidelines. And since Singapore has more or less same typology of buildings, same standards more or less, and also terminology, because if you follow UK, you might have problems on understanding some terminology. But for major, big size buildings like MRT, high speed rail, all are referring to the UK standards.
Okay.
It's now the UK standard, which was related only to BIM, it's called PS1192. It's been taken over to become international ISO now. So most probably Malaysia, hopefully in the near future, will have their own version of this ISO BIM standards.
So, I mean, that's interesting. I mean, especially when we look at the system, it looks like it could potentially be developed further. It can be linked with all this new emerging technologies like IoT, automation, and so forth. Currently, what are the sort of new technologies that BIM is implementing? For an example, cloud technology, for an example, where you enable you to work remotely for us?
Yes, definitely. This is actually something that was implemented even a few years ago, but lately has been used a lot. So every source information now can be accessed on the cloud. So remote teams work together on the same models through cloud platforms. Mm. And these cloud platforms help not only on the working on the models, but also communication. So they allow even some... the platform allows also to handle all the communication within the same platform. So every source or every information circulated between team members is being recorded there. Everybody can access. And this helps a lot.
And does that mean that now, say, for example, foreign contractors or foreign architects can now participate with, for example, a project in Malaysia? So, but what does that mean to our local players, though? Do they? Is this something that they would welcome? Is this a threat to them?
I mean, not really, because in this case, for example, they are giving the job to us, so they're supporting the local market. But the local players, I think we have to jump into the BIM environment. We cannot wait anymore. This is nothing, and this is not new. As I mentioned, it's over 20 years that have been out there, so we cannot blame on the other markets.
So, if you compare Malaysia with this adoption rate of BIM in comparison to, say, other countries, how well are we doing at the moment? How is our adoption rate in comparison to, another country?
Okay, if from the neighboring countries.
Exclude Singapore.
If we exclude Singapore, we are more advanced than the neighboring countries, I would say. But still, we have a lot more to do. And we need support from big players, which are our clients, the developers, and also the government bodies that can support on preparing these standards. Because once we have one source of information for the standards, it's easier for every player, all of us consultants to refer to. Otherwise, there is a lot of arguments. There's a lot of miscommunication with the clients. Mm. Everybody wants different things, and it's difficult for us to please everyone.
Sure. All right. Well, on that note, you've been listening to The Property Show. Andy, thank you so much for joining us today and speaking to us about BIM.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
I've been speaking to Andy Kasa, the BIM manager for Veritas Architects, Sindirian Berhad. Now, coming up next, we have the 10 a.m. news bulletin followed by Enterprise. So stay tuned with us on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.